Greetings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of our Lord. Overcomers.ca Chapter 41 The Mystery of His Will, The Even Balance. Scriptures. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, in which he has made us accepted in the one having been loved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he caused to abound toward us in all wisdom and understanding, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, for an administration of the fullness of times, to head up all things in Christ, both the things in heaven and the things on earth, even in him. Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 10. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, so that I might learn your precepts. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. Jod, your hands have made me and formed me. Give me understanding so that I may learn your commandments. They who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Jehovah, that your judgments are right, and that you have afflicted me in faithfulness. I beseech you, let your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me, so that I may live, for your law is my delight. Psalm 119, verses 71 to 77. But if that servant says in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat the male servants and women servants, and to eat and drink and to be drunk, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he does not expect, and at an hour when he does not know. And he will cut him apart, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his Lord's will and did not prepare, nor did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he, not knowing and doing things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For to whomever much is given, of him much shall be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Luke 12, verses 45 to 48. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians 1, verses 9 to 13. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even unto the end. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 5 to 14. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation from you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in and of the Spirit, be rather glorious, engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 11. End Scripture. Next is a vision that's in two parts. I'll just read them. First part, second part, one right after the other. First part. The Lord was holding a very large steel mallet in his right hand, bringing it down swiftly upon the heart encrusted with stone. The mallet would strike the stony heart and break off large pieces of stone, piece by piece. The heart underneath was fleshly and soft, but the outer shell of stone was broken by the hammer held in the hand of He who is the righteous judge. Second part. Then I saw the fleshly heart, clean and open before the Lord, and with the same hand that once held the mallet of steel, came forth a pen, a writing pen, small in size, but very gentle. With that pen, the Lord did scribe upon the fleshly, soft heart His law. That law was written in such a way as to promote great grace and comfort for the heart that had first endured the breaking power of the steel mallet. Such was the working of grace. Such was the working of judgment for that heart which had sought hard after the Lord, even as the texts were written upon the heart. The heart remained soft and pliable. End the vision in two parts. Those that love the Lord and long for His fullness to take them have always sought after the perfect will which would enable them to be well-pleasing in His sight. The biggest question mark any true child of the King has in their born-again experience is, what is the Lord's will concerning me? This will is displayed openly in Scripture and it witnessed to by the witness of the Spirit of the Lord in them. We have now come in our studies on the Epistle Mysteries to the seventh of 17 scriptural mysteries, the first mystery being the introduction to all of the Epistle Mysteries. We will study this one as the most important one, but also the hardest to seek out and understand, even the mystery of His will. It is very important to know that the Lord requires His people to be filled with every particle of wisdom that His Spirit can give them in this hour. We need to know these things in Scripture if we are to be carried through this time of great tribulation and to be found perfect and entire in the Lord at His appearing. The Lord is going to come, and that right soon. But He will not come for a people ignorant of His perfect will. He will come for a people calling them all by name, naming them as His overcomers, when they have learned to seek and to learn and to do the will of the Lord. I am not saying that the requirement for the coming of the Lord is based on our seeking, learning, and doing, but on the fact that His time in His hands, and He needs to prepare each of us for the throne. We are in a state of learning here, seeking and being His will in the earth, all for being groomed for rulership. The Lord is going to manifest in glorified bodies people who are ignorant of His will. He will manifest in glorified bodies those who exercise their hearts and minds in the Word of God, knowing His will and being competent in doing the will of the Lord. One must admit that in the past of their life, the will of the Lord was somewhat always of a mystery. While I am telling you that the coming King of Kings will come for a people who are well versed in the will of the Lord and who are not short at all concerning doing and being that will in all the earth, the heaven, and finally upon the throne. These people who will partake of the first resurrection will have no mystery as to his will, for they will fully understand it. This first writing on the mystery of his will is all about balance. The balance is triangulated in three areas. This balance affects your everyday decision process, your ability to walk forward in confidence in the Lord, and to know and understand his will in all you think and do. This balance will separate you from all others who have no knowledge of the will of God, and it will keep you out of all the systems of man. Here, then, is the three-part balance. Number these upon your heart, for they are crucial to your walk in this hour, and this is required knowledge. The first part is to do the will of the Lord. An actual verbal action in your daily walk wherein that will is demonstrated. This demonstration of the will of the Lord in you is not directed to your fellow man, but back unto the Lord alone. For the Lord desires greatly to see his will done in you, and you reflecting that will back to him. The Lord wants to see a mirror image of his perfect will being verbally done and accomplished in your every step while you abide in your flesh body in the earth prior to his appearing. That is the first part of the balance. The second part of the balance and is that to do this verbal action of his will, one must learn all about the Lord and the things that he teaches by his Spirit in you. The learning of the overcomer is before the knowledge of his will. In other words, to do his will, one must first learn what the Lord desires, what his will is, how he wishes to accomplish that will upon your mortal, then spiritual frame. For the will of the Lord will not only be done upon your mortal flesh, it will be done upon your incorruptible flesh also. The will of the Lord will never end. But to get there, to do that will, you must first learn what that will is. This act of learning is also a verbal action, but not so much on your part as on the Holy Spirit's part. For the Holy Spirit must become your only teacher. It is from the Holy Spirit that you must learn the will of the Lord. You cannot know the will of the Lord by asking a man or a person, a teacher, apostle, or prophet. You must learn first to ask the Holy Spirit for the teaching needed so you can learn what his will is. Now that learning of his will with you being teachable is precluded yet again by the third part of the even balance, and that is that you seek the Lord. There it is. You seek, then you learn, then you do. Seek, learn, do. And if you follow that balance, you will glorify the Lord in your mortal, then glorified flesh. We live in a time when men have, for the most part, stopped seeking the Lord. They're seeking after everything but the Lord. Men seek signs and wonders and miracles and wham, bam, power, and gifts, and callings, and money, and fame, and fortune. But this kind of seeking is not for the overcomer. The overcomer does not seek any of those things. If the overcomer is seeking any of those things, then they are not overcoming. The overcomer seeks the closet of prayer and the solitude of seeking and learning so they can do the will of the Lord. What is amazing is how few there are who are seeking, learning, and doing. The prophet Jeremiah was sent to Israel because Israel had disobeyed the commandment of the Lord to possess Canaan. He prophesied of Israel's captivity to Babylon, and then later, deliverance. This will be covered when we study the mystery of Israel's blindness. There is one verse I wish to lift out of context in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, which, when lifted, teaches us about seeking, learning, and doing. And here's that verse, Jeremiah 29:13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now this verse, when in context, reveals a few things. In context, it revealed the reason for Israel being sent into captivity. The false prophets which said it would never happen, and the true prophets which warned of this captivity and the reasons for it. I dare say that today we are about to see a repeat of this history. The modern North American Christian denominational system, including all the facets of their idolatry and lack of wisdom, is about to be invaded by a horde of those who will be the tool the Lord uses to correct modern idolatrous Christendom. You will see the modern Christian world collapse completely in every single denominational setting when the Lord sets this in motion. For the modern Christian world has not sought the Lord, neither have they obeyed his word. Again, for the modern Christian world, that's Christendom, has not sought the Lord, neither have they obeyed his word. The entire denominational structure of the Christian world will be overrun by other world religions, which will be an iron mallet in the hand of the Lord, smashing their hearts to pieces. I am prophesying to you today that you will see no mercy in this. The hour is so late, and the Lord is wroth with Christendom because his name is being blasphemed by them continually. But the lowly, humble overcomer is much different. They are not a part of any of these systems you see in denominational circles. What has to take place in our hearts is the settled contentment that must manifest when we have finished our seeking and our learning, and as a result can do what the will of the Lord is. That bears repeating. What has to take place in our hearts is the settled contentment that must manifest when we have finished our seeking and our learning, and as a result can do what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord has nothing to do with where you sit as an overcomer in the world of men. Whether it be job or wealth or lack of wealth, this has nothing to do with it. What the will of the Lord is requiring of you is to be pliable and moldable in his hands. That you have sought hard after the Lord, have learned of his ways and his spirit, and have gained understanding as to what the Lord requires of you personally. I can sum this up in one sentence. The Lord right now requires all his overcomers to be shut away until his indignation in the world of men is past. In other words, stay hunkered down in the trenches until the blasting tempest is completed. Don't stick your head up to see what is happening on the battlefield. Keep your head down. There is about to be an explosion of the Spirit of the Lord in correction in this world, which will be much larger than any nuclear weapon man has ever made. Two things are going to take place. First of all, the Lord will come in the power of his resurrection and will raise from the dead those bodies which belonged to those who overcame in their lifetime. This raising will bring up their bodies from the place of their graves and into the glorified state. Those overcomers who are alive at that time will also move from a mortal state into an immortal state. The vast crucible of suffering the overcomers experienced will be removed, and the power of the blood of Jesus will replace their human blood forever. Your body, dear overcomer, will be changed. Your heart to eternally beat perfectly with the blood of the covenant flowing through your veins. Then that company of overcomers is known now for what they are, manifested sons, which will now do the second part. I had said that two things will happen. Here is the next part. These sons in manifested deathless bodies will bring all of creation into their liberty. What people do not realize is that this will not be done as though it were a gleeful ability they now have in their new eternal state. It will be done by killing death. So what will be done by killing death? So backing up and reading it again. These sons manifested in deathless bodies will bring all creation into their liberty. What people do not realize is that this will not be done as though it were a gleeful ability they have in their new eternal state. It will be done by killing death. These who are going to be glorified will be visible expressions of the mystery of his will. In the past of their lives, they lived in the closet of prayer, secluded away from all others, but now they will be openly displayed, and their very first act will be to bring all creation into their liberty by killing death that binds them. It has been prophesied by me before, and I'm going to prophesy this again. Absolutely nothing you see in the world now will survive this death-killing process. Everything man has built, everything from their personal iniquity right down to the nuts and bolts that hold society together, will be removed. Everything you see in this world will be completely unbuilt, both that which you see naturally and that which is of spirit or soul. The overcomers in glorified bodies will do the will of the Lord. They will present to this fallen creation the deliverance from death that is required for them to enter into life. You will not see anything around you untouched by this. Everything in every area and in every time frame of world history will be completely and utterly destroyed. All that which was subject to first decay, then to death, right down to the smallest of things, will be brought to nothing. The core breath of the Almighty, which first breathed life into this creation, will be all that remains. In all the past millennia of time, all that man has built from the time of Noah until now has been done apart from the desired finished product that the Lord has determined in his will for creation to become. The Lord determined that everything everywhere would be holy. That the mystery of iniquity, which the Lord created in the heart of Adam, would be finished. And that the mystery of his will would be accomplished. That no one outside of his perfect will would survive another moment under the power of death. The Lord, who designed all this, designed also that it all would be made anew, become sinless, perfect, holy, but that it would be done in this balanced scale, that his creation would seek, learn, then do his will. Why is it so important to know and to do his will? It is important because the will of the Lord is the only perfect, holy thing in all creation. It was that will which sent Jesus to the cross to shed his blood for the remission of sins, just as much as it was his will to raise Jesus' dead body from the tomb. So it is that his will that all creation be washed in that blood, so that all creation can rise anew with no taint of death upon it. You may feel that you are just one little speck of a particle in this overall plan. That is not true. Your life, no matter how small and hidden away, is extremely important to the will of the Lord in the mystery of his will. This is so important to know, that everything you have suffered as a believer in this evil world was done in his will, so that you were once turned to destruction, so that you will one day be turned to glorification. The amount of your sufferings will be balanced with the amount of your glorification. That which you have endured as your personal cross in loss in this present wicked world will be replaced with eternal glory, all in the will of the Lord. Even the choices of your past delusions will be turned to victory. It matters not how far you fell in the past. What matters is the fact that you will be paid for your suffering, and that pay will be the fullness of your inheritance, even a glorified, eternal body, pumping in its veins the blood of Jesus. Hear me well, for I am prophesying this to you. The next thing on the Lord's agenda is your glorification. Then the next thing on the agenda after your glorification is the end of death for the rest of humanity and all creation. That death will be stayed. Again, that death will be stayed. The millennium is going to be absolutely wonderful, but it will be the age-long process of removing death, not an instant thing, but a progressive thing. An outworked judgment in that time when nations will abide in peace. During that age, men will still be in natural bodies, subject to death and dying, until the age is consummated. In the end, by the final judgment, at which time death will then be eternally removed. Think of the millennium as an age-long process for the world of men that you, the overcomer, learned in their closet of prayer in this lifetime. So it will be for the world. They will seek, then learn, then do the will of the Lord in the age that is dawning. The millennium will be the time of reaping that which was sowed. If men or nations sowed evil, they will reap that evil as their meat in the millennium. They will have no choice in the matter. If a nation did evil in the history of the world, the millennium will reveal that evil and the nation will be required to eat it. If a man did evil and worked iniquity in the history of the world, they will be required to eat that evil and to consume that iniquity in the millennium. But do not think that this is a vindictive thing. It is not. It is a process whereby the Lord will consume death and will bring it all to nothing. And he has chosen the millennium to do this in. Only those who partook of the first resurrection at the beginning of the millennium will be finished having this judgment in themselves. The end of the millennium will see the destruction of all this evil in the age of the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. All this once again being part of his will. But I digress. We have not come to a place where we can stop seeking, learning, and doing. We are not in a time where we can be at the end of ourselves and at the beginning of our new state in glorified bodies. But that time is fast approaching. I believe that this transition in the first resurrection is not based on man's interpretation of laws or feasts or elements of grace, but on the timing of the Lord alone. We cannot categorize his will into elements of our interpretation, but rather into portraits of his will being done, even when we are not fully aware of what he requires. The more we seek, the less we speculate on what it is we seek. The more we learn, the less we speculate on what it is we are learning. The more we do, the less we question what his perfect will is for us. Into all this comes the mind of Christ, which mind bears now the sacrifice of self, but which mind in time bears for us the full element of his plan, worked out in the elements of time, but with the purpose being to end all that is estranged from the Lord. So then, let us move forward in the study on the mystery of his will, knowing full well that his will shall be made known to us. What great grace is given to the overcomers to seek such things. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.